Today's daf is Erechin daf Chofhe, and we are at the Mishnah about 10 lines from the top of daf Chofhe Amar Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Zora Alizo. So yesterday we began the 7th parak of Masechtas Erechin, which is really the second half, the smaller half, of Masechtas Erechin. So the first part of Masechtas Erechin, minus the digressions, discuss the halachos of Erechin. The second part discusses the halachos of Stei Achuzah. The first sugya of the second part of Masechtas Erechin is the halacha of someone that's makdish a Stei Achuzah. So again, what's a Stei Achuzah? This is an important introduction, really, for many of the daffin that we're learning right now. So back in the day, people still knew about the land that their Elta Zeda had yarshined and had received at the time that Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol divided Eretz Yisrael. So the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael after spending 40 years in the Midbar. For 7 years, they conquered Eretz Yisrael, most of the land. They spent the next 7 years dividing the land. It was done Alpi Goyrel, Alpi Urim V'Tumim. It was done in the presence of Yeshua ben Nun, who was Kipnei Alavana, Elazar Kohen Gadol, and each Shevet got its Geffen and its Te'ena, it got its parcel of property in Eretz Yisrael. And there was an idea that even though people are allowed to transact with the land that they receive, but at some point the boundaries should reset to the way they were at the time that they entered Eretz Yisrael. That time is Yoivel. So if somebody has a Stei Achuzah, he has a right to transact with it. You can gift it, you can sell it, you can be makdish it to Bedek Habayis. But at the same time, once Yoivel comes, it's an expiration date, so to speak, on the transaction that you did, and what you did is going to be unwound. Everything is going to be reset. As it relates to being makdish a Stei Achuzah, says the Torah, the hektish is going to be in effect up until Yovel. What happens when Yovel comes? It doesn't go back to the makdish, this is a chiddush, but rather it goes to the kohanim. One of the chaf dalid matnas kahuna is that if somebody was makdish a Stei Achuzah, when Yovel comes, that Stei Achuzah goes to the rishus of the kohanim. Bigger chiddush. What would be if Hektish sold that piece of property in the interim? Hektish felt that it was in their benefit rather than live off the produce of that land to sell it. That's something they have a right to do. If they would sell that property and now Yovel would come, the halacha is the property would go from the possession of the one that bought the field from Hektish back to Hektish. You have to follow the paper trail. And from Hektish again, it would go to the Kehanim. What if somebody redeemed the field? So Hektish owns this field and somebody comes to Hektish and says, I'd like to redeem the field. Similar to buying it, but instead of buying it, they redeemed it. They give Hektish the money, whatever the redemption money is for a Stei Achuzah. We'll see about that in a minute. And now this other person owns the field. Yovel comes, it goes from the redeemer to Hektish, from Hektish it goes to the Kehanim. That's the basic halacha of Stei Achuzah. Now, what would happen if the Makdish himself would redeem it? So, Reuven had a field. He decided that he wants to give it to Bedek Habayis. It's been in his family going back to the times of the Melachim and the Shoiftim, literally back to Yeshua ben Nun, and he wants to give it to Hektish. And then afterwards, he has some soul remorse. He says, you know what? Why am I doing that? Let me redeem it. I want to say, so he could redeem it, of course. A person has a right to redeem Hektish. What happens when Yovel comes? In that case, he's going to keep it himself. So if someone's Makdish a Stei Achuzah, Hektish has it, Yovel comes, it goes to the Kehanim. If someone's Makdish a Stei Achuzah, Hektish sold it or somebody redeemed it, Yovel comes, it goes from Hektish back to the Kehanim. The Kehanim are going to be the ones that are going to end up having it. If someone's Makdish a Stei Achuzah and he himself redeemed it, Yovel comes, he gets to keep it. That's the first part of the introduction. The second part is when somebody redeems a Stei Achuzah, how do you redeem it? So ordinarily, if somebody's redeeming Hektish, you redeem it dollar for dollar. So you assess how much this Hektish is worth, and based on what that assessment is, that's how much money you pay. The one important caveat, whenever you talk about redeeming Hektish, is that if the Makdish is the one that redeems it, he has to add a Chaimish, which incidentally is not a fifth, it's actually a fourth, right? Whenever you talk about a Chaimish in Halacha, it's really a fourth. So if the value was $100, you're going to add one-fourth of that, which is $25. The reason it's called a chaimish is because the additional amount, the surtax, so to speak, represents one-fifth of the gross amount. So if you add $25 to something worth $100, so now your gross number is $125, which means that the penalty, the add-on, which is 25 of the 125, is really a fifth. But really, you're adding a fourth, you're not adding a fifth. So regardless, if the Makdish himself is the one that's Paida, he has to be Moisef HaChaymash. If somebody else is Paida, there's no halacha that you have to be Moisef HaChaymash. That's the way it works in every single example of Pidyon. So if you're being Paida Maisa Sheni, if you're being Paida Kachib Ed HaGabayas, if you're being Paida Psuli HaMakdash, right, Kachib Mizbech, you can't be Paida unless it has a mum. But if you're going to be Paida the Kachib Mizbech, anytime you're Paida, you're Paida dollar for dollar. If the Makdish is the one that's being Paida, you add a fifth. If somebody else is being Paida, you don't have to add a fifth. Stating that, when it comes to being Paida Steachuzo, the Torah says that it doesn't work with the value of the field, but rather there's a formula, there's an absolute number that you're supposed to use. What's that formula? The Torah mentions it in Parshas Bechukosai. It says, V'hoya erkecha lefi zaroi zera choymer so'irim b'chamishim shekel kosov. English. What that means is that for every parcel of land that is a base core, which is the equivalent of 30 sa', which is the equivalent of 75,000 square amas, which is the equivalent of approximately 150,000 square feet, the halacha is you're supposed to give 50 shekel kesef. But then the Torah goes and the Torah qualifies it. You have to read the fine print. This is very important. And it says that this is only true if you were makdish and then poida right at the beginning of the yovel cycle. So if year one of the yovel, you went and were makdish this field, and you were immediately paid it, this is what you're going to pay. If, however, you were paid it years later, or you were makdish it years later, so it's year 15, or it's somewhere in the course of the 50-year yoiva cycle, at that point, you're not going to pay the 50 shekel kesef, but rather you're going to prorate it. So you're going to take the 50 shekel kesef, and you're going to come up with a pro rata amount of how much you need to pay if you want to be paid this field. How do you know to establish the formula? So the formula that we worked with, which was yesterday's daf, which is really mentioned in the first mishnah that we're going to learn right now, is that you take the 50 shekel kesef and you divide it by 49. And the reason you divide it by 49 is because we're assuming that a yovel cycle is 50 years. We're also assuming that you can't be makdish something during the yovel year. So really, the earliest in the yovel cycle that you could be makdish this field is at the onset, Rosh Hashanah, of year one of yovel. You count 49 years. The 50th year is going to be a yovel again. At that point, everything gets unwound. So really, the term, as far as Steachuza goes, is 49 years. So when you think of yovel terms, it's 50 years, right? Yovel is every 50 years. Everybody knows that. You have 7 years of Shemitah. Seven Shemitahs is 49 years. The 50th year is Yovel, and then you start again. Another 49 years, and the 50th year is Yovel. So really, from the beginning of year one until the end of Yovel is a 50-year period. But the beginning of year one until the beginning of Yovel is only 49 years. Once Yovel comes, you're out of business. The previous Yovel, you couldn't be makdish it. So from the standpoint of Steachuza, the term is not 50 years, it's 49 years. So if you have 50 shekel for a 49-year period, so you take 50 divided by 49, what you end up with is a shekel and a little bit of change. That change is called a punyan because it's 48 punyans and a shekel. So it's not exactly a shekel and a punyan, but it's almost exactly a shekel and a punyan, and that's the number. So the number is a shekel and a punyan. But as we saw in yesterday's daf, that number is shekel and a punyan, is really not mentioned in the Torah. It's something that the Chachamim came up with. It's something that the Chachamim backed into. They backed into the Shekel and the Punyan just based on information that they had and certain Hanachas that they had made as it relates to Yovel. Meaning all the Torah says is 50 Shekel Kesef. That's if you do it right in the beginning. If you don't do it right in the beginning, prorate it. Chum said, okay, how do you prorate it? It's 49 years. 50 shekel divided by 49, you end up with a shekel and a punyan a year. But as we saw in yesterday's daf, it doesn't have to be that way. It's possible you could hold, you could be one of the chachamim, and you could be of the opinion that the prorata number is not a shekel and a punyan per year, it's a shekel per year. You could be of the opinion that the prorata number is not a shekel and a punyan, it's a shekel and two punyans. Meaning, you're not dividing the 50 by 49, maybe you're dividing the 50 by 50, which would give you a shekel a year, or maybe you're dividing the 50 by 48, which would give you a shekel and two punyans a year. What does it depend on? There's two variables. Number one, is the yovel cycle 50 years, or is it 49 years? The chum hold, it's 50 years. You have 49 years, yovel. 49 years, yovel.
meaning it's a 50-year period. Rabbi Yehuda has a different shita. Rabbi Yehuda held that the Yovel period is not 50 years, it's 49 years, because Yovel is not on an island on its own. Yovel is actually year one of the Shemitah cycle. So it's really 49 years. So if you minus the Yovel year, because you can't transact during the Yovel year, so then the stay achuza term is 48 years. So it's 50 divided by 48, which will give you a shekel and two punyans. That's how you can have a shekel and two punyans. It's possible, if you hold, like Rav Shitin yesterday's daf, that you could be makdish during the Yovel year, and you hold like the Chachamim, that Yovel is 50 years, so then the Stei Achuza term will mirror the Yovel term, which will be it's 50 years. And then it's not 50 divided by 49, again, it's 50 divided by 50. So not to confuse it, and not to go backwards, but at the same time, when we talk about redeeming the Stei Achuza, all the Torah says is, it's 50 shekel kesef for each parcel of land that's able to produce a base core. But the point is that it's on a pro rata basis. We're going to have to figure out what the pro rata is. We have to take the information that we know about Stei Achuza, the information that we know about Yovel in general, and back into a number. The Chachamim's stamp number was a shekel and a punyan a year, but as emerged, just a clearer thing from yesterday's app, doesn't have to be that way. It could be a shekel and two punyans. It could be a shekel, regardless, even though the backdrop of today's daf is Stei Achuza, which, as we said yesterday, is certainly from more obscure areas of Torah Shebiksav and certainly of Torah Shebalpeh. It's a parsha that's tucked away in the end of Parshas Bechukosai. So usually when you learn Parshas Bechukosai, you don't go past the first Rashi. Shetiru Amelim Batayra. And if you're lucky to get past the first Rashi, so you learn the brachas and the klolas, also known as the Teichachah. But there's a whole second part of Mesechta Zerich, of Parshas Bechukosai. And that's really parshios that we've been learning now over the last few months. The master of Parshas Bechukosai is the parsha of Maisa Behema, which was the last parak of Masechtas Bechoyrois. The parsha that immediately follows the Toichachon Parshas Bechukosai is Erechin. You have Tmura, which is going to be the next Masechta we're going to learn. Here you have the halachas of Stei Achuza, which is literally, it's Chamishi and Shvi'i Kishehe Mechubarim in Parshas Bechukosai. Regardless, surprisingly, today's daf is actually a light daf. Zok the Mishnah, an intense intro with a light daf, and hopefully some geshmakere. Hamakdish sodeyu b'shas hayoivol. If someone is makdish his field at the time that yoivol is noyik, which in other words means these halachas are not noyik b'zmanazeh. So the halacha is noisem b'zerach choymer sa'orim chamishim shekel kesef. In the event that he wants to be poyed this field, he could do that. And rather than being poyed a dollar for dollar, there's a formula that the Torah gives that you're supposed to use. What happens if in the field there were crevices, there were ditches in the field that were 10 tfachim deep? Or there were rocks in the field that were 10 tfachim tall. Einim dodim ima, they're not counted as part of the land. So when you measure the land to figure out how much money you need to give hektish, if you want to be paid to the land, you don't count any cracks that are 10 tfachim deep. You also don't count any rocks that are 10 tfachim tall. Pachas mikan. What if there are cracks that are less than 10 tfachim deep? Or there are rocks that are less than 10 tfachim tall, then they do count. What happens if someone was makdish a field 2 or 3 years before yovel? So here's the formula. You don't give the full 50 shekel, but rather noisin sela upunyan lashana. You give a sela and a punyan per year, which, as we spoke out in detail in the intro, doesn't have to be that way. It's the shita of the Stam Mishnah, but it really assumes certain premises as it relates to Stei Achuza and relates to the halachas of Yevim. I'm already nice and double shana b'shana. What happens if the person says that I'm paying a shekel and a punyan per year outstanding between now and Yovel when I redeem my field? So you know what? Why do I have to write a check right now, one shot, and give it to Hektish? Why can't I have a payment plan? I'll give Hektish every year a shekel and a punyan. Isn't that the methodology to the amount of money that I'm paying anyways? The number that I'm responsible to pay, I have to pay 15 shkolim with 15 punyans. It's based on a shekel and a punyan per year. So could the person say every year, I'll give you head checks, I'll deposit a shekel and a punyan? Is that something that's okay? Says the Mishnah, ain't shayim loy. Ela noisin is kulik echad. You have to give it all in one shot. Echad bailin, vechad kol adam. The bailin, anybody has a right to be poida stei achuza. Not only that, anyone that's paid the Stei Achuza is paid it per the aforementioned formula. What then is the difference between the Bailam being paid or somebody else being paid? The halachas of chaymish you do have. Meaning, even though the the formula for the pidyon with stei achuzah is different than it usually is. Usually it's dollar for dollar. Over here, lahakal lahachmer, it's an absolute number of 50 shekel for the entire term. But as it relates to the chaimish, the laws of chaimish don't go away. So if the makdish himself is being paid on top of whatever the number is, he has to add a chaimish. If somebody else is being paid, he doesn't have to add a chaimish. So when we talk about the chaimer sa'irim, meaning the parcel of land that begets the pidyon of chamishim shekel kesef, so we refer to it as a base kor. Now, what does a base kor mean? A kor is not a measurement that's used to measure land. A kor is not the equivalent thereof of an acre, for example. A kor is actually a measurement that's used to measure tefuah. So what a base kor of land means, a piece of property that can produce a base kor's worth of tefuah. So here's the question. The question is, does it mean a parcel of land where you can plant a core's weight of seed? Or does it mean a parcel of land that can produce a core's weight of tefuah? If it's a core's value of weight of seed, it's going to be a much larger parcel of land. Obviously, a core of seed is going to produce a lot more than a core of tefuah. Zoktim braisa, kor zera v'loy kor tefuah, meaning it's a kula. It's a much larger parcel of land. So for every parcel of land where you would plant a core of zera, that's the amount that requires this value of chamishim shakel kesef. Additionally, ma'poilas yad v'loy ma'poilas shvarim. It should be a piece of land where you can plant a core of zera using your hand, not using ox. So if you'd use oxen, the way you would plant it would be, we're not farmers, but the way you would plant it and the way you would sow would be a little bit different. Thus, the amount of land and property you would need to plant this would be a different amount. So is it ma'poilus yad, ma'poilus shvorim? That's the braisa. It's ma'poilus yad, tani levi, another halacha, le'ma'avav, le'medek, elobenini. It should be a parcel of land where you can plant a core of seed, not in a way where it's going to be too mava, too thick. In other words, too dense. V'loy medak, elobenini, it should be the bein. Ha'yishav nekav ha'mukim. So the Mishnah said that if there were cracks or there were rocks inside the field, so if they're 10 tefachim, they don't count. If they're less than tefachim, they do count. Now it sounds like from the Mishnah, if they're 10 fucking tall, they're not even hektish. What does it mean they don't count? You don't have to be paid there. Right? It sounds like they were never hektish in the first place. Why aren't they hektish? Meaning, I understand the Mishnah says that maybe it's not part of the field, but who cares if it's part of the field or not part of the field? I was makdish my field. They're in the field. There's no reason hektish shouldn't be chal on that. So why are they not hektish? Maybe there's halacha that you can't be makdish a stei achuzah if it's less than a base kor. Meaning, the parsha of hektish stei achuzah very much involves this base kor. But if you have a base kor, so the formula of how you're supposed to be paid. So maybe you can't even be makdish a stei achuzah that's less than a base kor. But the Gemara says it's not true. But Tanya, we're learning to the price. I would think that the only time it's chal hektish on a stei achuzah is if you makdish that amount. How do you know if you are makdish a smaller measurement than a base kor, that the halacha is that the hektish is chal? Talmud loymer sada mikom makom. It says ve'im, it doesn't say the word sada. It says ve'im mi stei achuzasa, but shayrish is sada. So it says stay, and from the word stay, sada, you see that it doesn't matter how big or how small the field is. Again, what's the question? Why are these crevices, these holes in the ground, and these rocks, why are they not included? Why are they not hektish? It sounds like from the Mishnah, they're not hektish at all. Amar maruk bar chama, hacha b'nekom alei mayim, delav b'nei. We're talking about where you had holes in the ground that were filled with water. Thus, you can't be zoreya it. And being that you can't be zoreya, you can't plant in there, it's for that reason it's not kluna. Meaning, nobody said it's not hektish. Maybe it is hektish. No one's saying it's not hektish. What we're saying is that it's not hektish in the makdish stei achuzah sense, where if you want to be poidit, you'd have to be poidit lefi zari choymer soim b'chamish m'shakal kesef. Question is, why not? Even if it's 10 tefachim, maybe look at it as a field onto itself. The teretz is, it's more of a technical thing. You have to add language to the Mishnah. It's not just a ditch. It's a ditch that has water in it. It's not Bnei Zriya. And if it's not Bnei Zriya, we had this already in the previous prakim. If it's not Bnei Zriya, then you're excluded from this unique parsha of Stei Achuzah. Dekanami, and it's a little mashva that way from the Mishnah. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's meduyik that way. Dektani, do me the slot. Shmami, no. Because we're comparing the holes in the ground to the rocks. A rock
you can't be Zoreya. So too, the holes were holes that you can't be Zoreya. Shema mina, ihachi, pachas bekanami. If that's the case, we're talking about where it's physically not possible to be Zoreya, so why only if it's 10 tfachim do we say that it's not included in the field? L'chura, even if it's smaller than 10 tfachim, that should be the same halacha. So the Gemara says, no, that if it's smaller, hani negani da'arim mikri, shidri da'arim mikri. Then we look at them as being part of the ground. Negani literally is a bowl. We look at them as being, the cracks are bowls of the ground, the rocks are spines of the ground. Those are just metaphors of, it's part of the ground, right? Ground isn't always perfectly flat. You can have some bumps in the road, and these are the proverbial bumps in the road, and as a result, it's considered, so if it's 10 tfachim deep or 10 tfachim tall, so then we look at it as an entity unto itself. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if you can't, you don't have to be able to plant every single square foot of the property in order for it to be included in the halacha of steyach was a kedusha shnayim v'shalosh tanu rabbanon v'nigra me erkecha. So the pasuk says that even though the formula for being paid the steyach uza is v'haya erkecha l'fizare zerach chomer sa'orim b'chamishim shakol kesef, stating that the pasuk clearly says v'machra yovel yachdish sadeo. If the hektish happened after Yovel, v'chishav le'akoyin es ha'kesef, al pi ha'shonim ha'noisores ha'shnas Yovel, v'nigra me'erkech, the magic words are v'nigra ver'kech. V'nigra is the Torah's way of saying prorate. Meaning, v'nigra me'erkech, that if you were makdish it at the beginning of Yovel, then it's going to be 50 shekel. If you're going to do it at some later date, so then you're going to prorate what it is. Says the Braiso, shim och v'nigra me'erkech, af min ha'hektish, shim och le'hektish shana ishnayim. If Hektish had it for 2 or 3 years, inami lo yachlo elo shoyis alafanav. Or if Hektish had it, even if they didn't use it, noisin selo punyon l'shan. Meaning the poshit example of the pasuk, very simple gemara. The poshit example of the pasuk of when you say v'nikra me'erkech, when you prorate, is where someone was makdish it, not in the beginning of shnas hayovel, but at some later date. Right? The pasuk says v'im achar hayovel yachdish sadeo. We're talking about when you were makdish it. So I was makdish it in year 15. Then, v'nigra me'erkecha. What if I was makdashit in year 1? I was makdashit right at the beginning of Yovel. But it's 15 years later, meaning Hektish had it for 15 years. Whether they used the field, they didn't use the field, doesn't matter. It's the same halacha. The halacha v'nigra me'erkecha, even though the pasuk states it in the context of when I was makdashit, has nothing to do when I'm makdashit, like we spoke about in the introduction. It's irrelevant when I was makdashit. What's relevant is when I'm being poida. So all you need to know is when am I being poida relative to Yovel. If I'm being poida 49 years before Yovel, it's 50 shekel. If I'm being poida 15 years before, so it's 15 times a shekel and a punyan. That's what the Gemara is saying. For Mama Reini Noisin, what if the person says that I want a payment plan? How do you know no payment plans? Ha kesef, all the money in one shot. Actually, a kesef gula keechad. Echad bayin of echad kol adam. The Braisa concludes the way the Mishnah concluded, that this formula is true whether the owner, the original makdish, is the one that's being paid, or whether somebody else is being paid. Ma'abim bayin l'chol adam. What's the difference between bayin l'chol adam? Elo sha'abayim noisen chaymish. Again, we said the chiddush is that even though the pidyon is a different type of pidyon, usually pidyon's dollar for dollar, here it's based on the formula. So what about the laws of chaymish? No, the laws of chaymish are in effect. So the bialim has to pay the chaymish. By the way, and it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, "Vim goyel yigal es hasadeh hamakdish oisay v'yosav chamishes kesef erkecha." All of the kamloi, it's mafurish in the pasuk. This idea that even though the style of the pidyon is different, but as it relates to the chaymish, you're going to have the halacha of the chaymish. Zok the mishnah vayter. Hikdisha, if somebody was makdish estei achuzo v'ga'ala, and then somebody was goyel, and the person himself redeemed the field, he keeps it yovel. So we spoke to that in the introduction, that even though when yovel comes, transactions get unwound. If I am makdish my stei achuzah, and then I redeem my own stei achuzah, yovel comes, yovel has no impact. Ga'ala b'noi, what happens if the person's son is the one that redeemed it? This is a chiddush. Then it goes to his father, as opposed to who? To the kohen. Very good. If somebody else redeemed it, or even if it's one of his relatives, like the Gemara is going to say, even his brother, even if the person who was the original owner, the original makdish, was goyalit from that person that was goyalit, yoytzel kiyana b'yoyvel, the halachas is going to go l'kiyana b'yoyvel. So once somebody else was goyalit, the halachas, yoyvel comes, it's automatically going to go to the kiyana. The Mishnah just adds one chiddush, that even if Hektish had it,
some random person was goyled from Hekdesh, and then the Makdesh went and he was goyled from the person that was goyled from Hekdesh. The halacha is, Yovel comes, it's going to go back to the camp. Golech, I'm going to Kehanim. What if one of the Kehanim was the one that was goyled? Darei, tachas yodoy, and now Yovel comes. The Yoimar, so the Kohen shouldn't say, Hoyel be Yoitzel the Kehanim, but Yovel, what happens to the field when Yovel comes? It goes to the Kehanim. Okay, ich bin doch ha-Kohen. Darei, tachas yodoy, I have it. Harei, shali, so let me keep it. So the Mishnah says, you can't say that. Lo yoimar. Rather, el yoitzel metachas yodoy, it leaves the Kohen's reshus, u'mischalek is chalokah v'kohenim, and it gets treated like regular manas kuna. Regular manas kuna gets divided amongst the Kohanim, right? Mishmorois, you have to know how this chalukah works. But the point is, the Kohen can be come with a good taina. He could say, once again, I'm the one that was goyled. Ich bin doch ha-Kohen. So, cut out the middleman. So you're going to take it from me, bring it to Hektish, and bring it back to the Kohanim, I'm a muchzik in it. Let it stay by me, says the Mishnah. It doesn't work that way. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. It says v'im lo yigales hasade bailin. In the event that the bailin is not the one that redeems it, that's when the Torah says that it goes to the kohanim. V'im machares hasade gizbar. The pasuk says that if Bezdin had it, Bezdin sells it le'ish acher, and that's going to be the emphasis of the next part of the Gemara. He sells it to an ish. But what kind of ish? An achar, an andermensch. So the halacha is that in that case, when Yovel comes, it goes to the Kehanim. And we learn from there only le'acher, but v'loy le'ben. That's the makar to the halacha in the Mishnah. That if the son is the one that buys it from Hekdesh, or if the son is the one that redeems it, then when Yovel comes, it goes to his father. Why? Because when the Torah says that if somebody buys it from Hekdesh, Yovel comes, it goes to the Kohen. And now the Torah refers to that someone as an ish achar. A son to a father is not an ishacher. He's brought karadavua. He's a son. So he's not an ishacher. And being that he's not an ishacher, so you don't have the halacha that it's going to go to the Kohen. But the Gemara says, how do you know? Oh, yeah, no, elu l'ach v'lo l'ach. Maybe when the Torah says, l'ishacher, clearly coming to exclude somebody, maybe it's coming to exclude the brother. Maybe the brother is more like his brother than the son is more like his son. So the Gemara says, k'shoymer ish, harayach amor. Just like acher is memait somebody, ish is marbe somebody. But the Gemara says, Hamani mekayim acha v'loy leben. Okay. So in other words, ish is marbe someone that you would have thought maybe should be like the father. Acher is memait someone that we say is like the father. We're marbe the brother, we're memait the son. Meaning, we're marbe the brother's included in the halacha that if he's the one that bought it from Hekdesh, it goes to the Kehanim. We're memait the son. If the son is the one that bought it from Hekdesh, it doesn't go to the camp. The Gemara says, Umar Rois, the rabbi says, Aben Eloitzius, how do you know? Right, at the end of the day, it just says ish acher. One is a ribui and one is a mir. Meaning, how do you know that the son is more like the father, thus the son is not the acher, than the brother? Maybe two brothers are more the same, they have the same parents, than a father and a son is. Achta Gemara, there's precedence for this. Mar ben yasa ben, you find that a son has a lot of similarities to his father. He's not considered an acher. Shekin kom tachas aviv li'yido. You find, number one, with regards to the mitzvah of yi'ud, ul'avidivri, with regards to avidivri. So what's yi'ud? If somebody buys a amavriya, so the money that he used to buy this Jewish girl who's less than 12 years old can technically be transferred into kesef kedushin, meaning there's a mitzvah maybe, or certainly a reshut for the owner of this Amavriya to marry this Amavriya. Not only can he marry the Amavriya, his son can as well. And here's the chiddush, that the money that the father used to buy the Amavriya can work as kesef kedushin for the son. What do you mean? The father paid the money, not the son. The teretz is, the son is kam tachas aviv. So you see that the son is not an achar. You see it in the mitzvah of yud. Another place where you see is by Eved Ivri. The halacha is that an Eved Ivri goes over Yerusha only to a son. So if a father dies and he had an Eved Ivri and it's not sheishanim tavod yet, it's still within the 6-year term, so the halacha is that the son yarshins the Eved Ivri. All other yarshim don't get the Eved Ivri. It's only the son that gets it. So again, two examples of where you see that a son is not considered an achar. So if he's not considered an achar with regards to yud, he's not considered an achar with regards to yarshining an Eved Ivri. It makes sense. He shouldn't be considered an achar with regards to the halachas of steyachuz as well. But the one says, either rabbi yes, can come tachas aviv liyibum. You find that two brothers are considered like one person. They're not considered an achar with regards to yibum, right? What happens if a man dies? He doesn't have any children. His brother's supposed to step into his shoes. His brother's supposed to be miyabim the almana. And by doing that, he yarshins him, and v'haya, the child, v'haya, b'chor, ashateled, yokum pachasochav. So there's a concept of a brother coming in place of his father. Zok de gemara, but klum yesh yibum, ela b'mokum she'ein ben. You can bring me a raya from yibum, The raya, what? From Yibum, that brothers are more similar than fathers and sons, just the opposite. The only time you do Yibum, there is no son. If the son, you don't need the brother. Because the son is actually more like the father than the brother is. Says the Gemara, Hayesh ben en Yibum. Why do you need to come on to that? Meaning, it's a nice chap. But why do you have to come on to the chap? Wouldn't it be a much easier answer? We're trying to figure out, are two brothers more alike than father and son? Or is father and son more alike than two brothers? So we had precedence. Two examples of where father and son, you didn't have a difference. One example of two brothers, Yibum, in the Havamina. It's two against one. So doesn't two always win one? Says the Gemara, so just say simple. Because the truth is that this idea that a son yarshins his father's evidivri, but a brother doesn't yarshin his brother's evidivri, is not something that we know from an absolute, from an independent source. We only know it gufa based on this makar. The makar is a Gemara Masechtas Kedushin, and the Gemara over there said, "How do you know?" Meaning, there's a makar in the Torah that there's a concept of yerusha by yevidim, and the Gemara isn't sure where that yerusha is manifest. Is it the yerusha of a son to a father, or is the yerusha to two brothers? And the Gemara made a cheshbon that a father and a son is more similar because of yield than two brothers. By two brothers, there's Yibum, and the Gemara was forced to say this svara, that no, even by Yibum, a son is more than a father. A son is more than a brother. The point is that Eved Ivri is not an independent source. If you knew independently that a son is kam tachas aviv liyud, and a son is kam tachas aviv with regards to Yerusha's Eved Ivri, then you would say, I have two sources. So even if you find that two brothers are very similar as it comes to Yibum, but it's two against one. But I don't know independently that a son yarshins his father's Eved Ivri. I only know it because a father and a son are more similar to two brothers, which is based on the svara that the Gemara just said. It's for that reason that the Gemara mentioned this svara here. So the Gemara, boy, Rabbi Baravu, bas ma'ushatam etzod levi. What about a daughter? So we said that if a son goes ahead and he's the one that's paid to the field, yovel comes, it goes to his father. What if a daughter does it? Do you say kibin dilin yibum ben baske adadi patri mukma? A son and a daughter are the same as it relates to yibum. Right, Yibum has nothing to do with a son, even though it says Vahaya HaBen. The Torah mentions Ben in the parish of Yibum, but Ben is Lavdafka, right? A daughter as well. So if a man dies, leaves over a daughter, of course there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So you see that a son and a daughter are the same with regards to Yibum. Maybe they should be the same with regards to the Salach as well. Or perhaps that with regards to Yerusha, you find that a son and a daughter are not the same. The son has Mishpat HaBechaira when it comes to Yerusha. If there are sons, the daughters get mezoinos, but that's it. They don't really yarshin. So if that's the case, so maybe a daughter shouldn't be like the sons. The Gemara Toshma, the Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Shu, Achar, B'makim Ben. The definition of Achar is, Rabbi Shmuel said, a little bit of a different drasha than what we just mentioned, whatever's considered an Achar in Yerusha. So if there's a son, you would be an Achar, then you're considered an Achar with regards to the halachas of Stei Achuza as well. And if that's the case, Manami B'makim Ben, Ki Achadam, your daughter's considered an Achar with regards to the Yerusha, because if there are sons, the daughters don't yarshin anything. Thus, they are Achar, which means in our sugya, that if they would be the ones that would buy or redeem the Stei Achuza, and then Yoivo would come, it would go to the Kehanim. Boy, Reb Zeira, Isha, Mi, Mai, Medo, Sada. What if a woman sells a Stei Achuza? I'm sorry. A woman is Makdish a Stei Achuza. How does Yoivol and Pidyon and the Kayam, how does this all impact a woman? So as it relates to a man, we said Allah, if the man himself is Poyedit, Yoivol comes and keeps it. If his son is Poyedit, Yoivol comes, it goes to his father. If somebody else does, Yoivol comes, it ends up by the Kayam. What if a woman is the one that made the Hektish? So do you say, Baal Moikum Lasha King Yarsha? Maybe the husband should be the proverbial son over here. Because when a man dies, who yarshins him? His son. And that was Rabbi Shmuel's drasha. That whoever's the Yorish, he's the one that's not the Acher. So it's when he's Poida that it doesn't go to the Kehanim, it goes to the father. But when a woman dies, it's the husband that comes first with regards to Yerusha. So being that the husband comes first, maybe he should be the one that's not the Acher. And if the husband's the one that's Poida, we should say that when Yoivo comes, it's going to end up going to his wife. Maybe it's the son even for a woman. Because even in the halachas of Yerusha, you find a son has a Milo. Because just like a Bechor is not Noito Bereike B'muchzik, a husband doesn't get Bereike B'muchzik. He only yarshins his wife's assets that she has in her possession. But if it's only Roy, it's something that's pending, something that she maybe will get there, that there's no halacha of Yerusha. A son is Yairish, only Bechor doesn't. But a son gets Bereike B'muchzik. So even in Yerusha, you find a son is more. So who's the one? Who's the not Acher? Is the not Acher with regards to a woman the husband? Or is it the son? And the Gemara says, Tishbi Yitaretz Kushias Vaboyas. Take Upoimene Rami Barchamim Rav Chizda. Hikdish Pachzbush Eishon Lefnei Yevo Ma. What happens if someone's Makdish a field less than 2 years before Yovel? What's the halacha? Sheteitze Lekayhanim. When Yovel comes, does it go to the Kehanim or does it not go to the Kehanim? So what's the precedence? Why would you think less than 2 years is different? So for that, we have to remember yesterday's daf, where we saw that the halacha of Vinigra Me'erkecha, the halacha that we prorate, the amount of money that you have to give when you're being poida is not true within 2 years of Yovel. Within 2 years is the halacha that if you want to be poida field, you have to pay top dollar. And that was the backdrop to the first halacha of the Mishnah. What was the first Mishnah, the first halacha of the Perek? And the Gemara said that it doesn't mean you can't. It's a toivah kamashmon. Don't do it. Because if you're going to want to be poida, you're going to have to pay the full dollar amount. Even though it's a year and a half. So based on the formula, you should have to pay a shekel and a punyan times two. But there's no v'nikrag me'erkecha. You don't have the pro rata kula within 2 years. So what's the question? Once you see that the standard halachas of stei achuza do not apply within 2 years, so Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chizda a different question. Maybe it shouldn't go to the Kehanim either. So he told him back, what's your havamina? Oh, like we just said, because of the smichas of the psukim. The Torah says v'nigra me'erkecha, and then right afterwards it mentions the halacha that goes to the kehanim. So maybe whenever you have v'nigra me'erkecha, you have the halacha that goes to the kehanim. If you don't have v'nigra me'erkecha, you don't have the halacha that goes to the kehanim. But the Gemara says, I disagree with you. It says, I'm lo yigoel asode. Right? Read the pasuk itself. V'im lo yigoel asode, if you're not going to redeem it. So if anything, it should be telling whether you can or cannot redeem it. V'hainami baskuli, you could redeem it. You just don't get the benefit of prorating the amount of money you're going to have to give if you want to redeem it. But you could redeem it, and it's for, and if it's for that reason, as long as you can redeem it, that's enough that you should have the halacha. Go'alo echad menakoyhanim, tonu rabbonon, lakoyen, tiye, achuzosoy, matamaloy mar. It says the koyen should get it. It's coming to teach me the following halacha. How do you know that a field that's supposed to go to the Kehanim, if the one that redeemed it was a kohen, being that it's supposed to go to Kehanim anyways, I have it now, let me keep it. Right, the Kavul Chomer, the kohen, is going to don a Kavul Chomer. He's a madach. If it's not mine, I get it. So if I have it, certainly I should keep it. It's a drasha. Achuza shaloi, ve'inza shaloi. The only type of achuza that he gets to keep when Yovel comes, so we're going to see how Yovel impacts the fields of the Kehanim and the Levim next week. But it's his own field that doesn't budge when Yovel comes. This is not his. Because this is something that he bought. This is something that he redeemed. From an achuza standpoint, it's not his stay achuza. Okay, it's that. What happens? We take it away from him. And it gets divided amongst the Kehanim. Exhale. So, I'm not done. Just to go back and speak out a little bit of raid as it relates to something that we spoke about earlier in the week. It's a digression from the sugyas of Stei Achuza, but we started talking about it, and I think it's kedai to continue along that theme. And that is the idea that Rabbi Eliezer, as in the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, was Shamuti, he was Mitalmide Veshachar. So we mentioned the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. The context over there is the beginning of Perek, Rebbe Eliezer de Mila. Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim argued. We know that Mila is Doicha Shabbos. What about Machshire Mila? Is Machshire Mila Doicha Shabbos or is Machshire Mila not Doicha Shabbos? So the Bris Mila, the act of the Mila itself, is Doicha Shabbos. What happens if a Moyel wants to do a Mila on Shabbos and he realizes that he forgot his Izemel? He doesn't have the knife that he needs to do the bris milah. He's in a Rishus HaRabim. The only way he'll be able to bring the izemel to the child or the child to the izemel is by violating one of the lamates malachas, the malach of Aitzah. Rabbi Eliezer says, milah is daicha Shabbos, machshire milah is also daicha Shabbos. At the end of the day, you're doing it for bris milah. Every milah involves chil Shabbos. Stating that, it's something that's okay, so why should this be any different? Say no. Milah itself, yeah. The machshire milah, that not. Chlikis, Rebbe Eliezer and the Chacham. The Gemara, Shabbos, Tavkuf Laman Amad Beis, tells a story. There was a Maisa Shahoya, Kachoya, Pamacha Shok Chuvlaiviu Zemel Me'erev Shabbos. Veheviu B'Shabbos. Vayadobar Koshel Chacham. And the Chacham were very bothered. They said, Heich Menichin Divrei Chachamin, Va'oisin K'Rebbe Eliezer. And they said for two reasons. Chode, number one, the Rebbe Eliezer Shamutehu. Rebbe Eliezer is Shamuti. So we don't paskin like Rebbe Eliezer ever. Va'oid, Yachid V'Rabim Malachik Rabim. In this specific case, it's not a Machlikis Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe
Rabbi Yeshua. It's a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. It's a yochid against a rabbin. And a yochid v'rabbin, the halacha is always like the rabbin. So the Chachamim were very disturbed because of this incident that took place. They felt it was Chil Shabbos, that they carried the Izemel through a Rishus Rabbim on Shabbos to do a Bris Milah, even though it was L'Tzarech Bris Milah, even though Rabbi Eliezer holds it's okay, but the Chachamim hold not that way. And we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, we pass like Chachamim. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti, we never pass like Rabbi Eliezer. And number two, because it's a yochid v'rabbim, yochid v'rabbim alochikram. So what does it mean, Rabbi Eliezer was Shamuti? So Pashit, you learn, your mind immediately drifts and wanders to the Gemara and Perek Ezeh Oneshech, Besechtes, Bava Metzia, Daf Samech, where the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Eliezer related to Tuma V'Taira, the Tanur Achnoi, where Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherem. And because Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherem, it sounds like the Gemara is saying, Shamuti Milosh and Shamta, it's for that reason we never pass from Rabbi Eliezer. Stating that, Tosfos and Rashi in the second shot, right here in the Gemara, brings B'Shem the Yerushalmi a different shot. Shamuti is not Milosh and Shamta, but rather Milosh and Shammai. Rabbi Eliezer was Shamuti, he was Mitalmidei B'Shammai. I mean that he was Mitalmidei B'Shammai, we know B'Shammai, B'Vokam Esil, in a Mishnah. We never passing like B'Shammai. It's for that reason that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. The Chavos Yoyer in Simen Tzadik Dalet. So that's one of the most famous simonim in Shailos Teshuvos Chavos Yoyer, where he talks about many Klali Hashas, and he speaks about many of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, brings this Yerushalmi, that Rashi brings in Shabbos Kuflam, and the Tosfos quotes in different places in Shas, and he's Matmiya. He says, we know that Rabbi Eliezer is not the only one of the Tanoim that were in the mainstream that were quote-unquote Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. The most notable other Tana that was Mitalmidei Beis Shammai was Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon, the Gemara says in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos, was also Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. It's Freik the Chavos Yoyer. How come you don't find anywhere in Shas that Reb Tarfon was Shamuti? Reb Eliezer was Shamuti, says Rashi B'Shem the Yerushalmi Mitalmidei Shammai. Reb Tarfon was also Mitalmidei Shammai. So how come you don't find anywhere that Reb Tarfon was Shamuti? Bishloim, if you're going to learn like Rashi's first pshat, that Reb Eliezer Shamuti means that Reb Eliezer was put in Cherim. It's related to the story of Tan Rachnoi. Okay, you don't find anywhere that Reb Tarfon was put in Cherim. But if Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti is not Shamuti Miloshin Shamta, but it's Shamuti Miloshin Shammai, so Reb Tarfon was also Shamuti. So Reb Tarfon was Shamuti, Freit the Chavos Yoyer, in Simen Tzadik Dalet, a Bumbekasha, how come you don't find anywhere that Reb Tarfon was Shamuti? So I was thinking as follows, just with a little bit of an introduction. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, La'oilam, La'oilam, halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. The halacha is always like Beis Hillel. V'roitza lasis kedivrei Beis Shammai oysa. Kedivrei Beis Hillel oysa. Then the Gemara says, whoa, you just said La'oilam, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. How could you say, V'roitza lasis kedivrei Beis Shammai oysa? So this is the Gemara in many places in Shas. And the Gemara goes ahead and the Gemara explains what that means. But of course, Lemaisa, it's the first line of that brisa that stands. La'olam hilchasa kedivrei Beis Hillel. The Teres Chaim in the Sechtes Chulin, Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis asks, what's this lashon la'olam hilchasa kedivrei Beis Hillel? Halach is like Beis Hillel. La'olam hilchasa kedivrei Beis Hillel. So he says a very gishmak azach. He says that how do we know that halach is like Beis Hillel? Maybe the halach is like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, it's because there was a baskel. The baskel came out and the baskel said elu ve'elu divrei elikim chayim. But at the same time, the halach is going to be like Beis Hillel. So it says the Teres Chaim, the fact that the halach is like Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai is different than other klalim as it relates to halach. So for example, whenever there's a machloikis iser v'heter between Rav and Shmuel, this is the Teres Chaim's example, we passing like Rav. If there's a machloikis in Dine Mominus, Rav and Shmuel, we paskin like Shmuel. Says the Teres Chaim, what would be if Rav and Shmuel argued in Issa v'Heter? And it's definitely mashma that the halacha should be like Shmuel. The halacha would be like Shmuel. Isn't there a cloud that halacha is like Rav? Yeah, but you know, rules are made to be broken. And there's always exceptions to rules. So it's true it's a cloud, but it doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. That's because the reason we paskin like Rav over Shmuel was based on some svar. Rav was better, so to speak, when it came to Isser. Shmuel's kayach was more in Mominus. So that's why Hilchasa Karabi Suri, Hilchasa Kishmuel when it comes to Dini Mominus. The same issue with Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish and all the different klolim that you find in Shas. It's based more on the Svara that it made sense to Paskin like Rabbi Isser, it made sense to Paskin like Shmuel when it came to Mominus. Stating that, when it comes to the Machalis B'Shamai and Beis Hillel, has nothing to do with Beis Shammai being more than Beis Hillel. In fact, the Gemara says in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos that Beis Shammai was mechadad itfei. So why is it then that we passing like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? It's because of the baskel. Then it has absolutely, positively nothing to do with Svara.
So you're never going to be able to tell me that, even though the halacha is like Beis Hillel, here I think it should be like Beis Shammai. No. La'olam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. You know why? Because it has nothing to do with Svara. It has nothing to do with Klolei Apsak. It's related to Abasko. And if it's related to Abasko, when is the halacha not going to follow the Abasko? And it's for that reason, la'olam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. I mean, the obvious answer is that Tosfos brings in Sukkah daf gimel amud aleph. There's six times we do pass on like Beis Shammai. But either way, that's la'olam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. Azoi shteit in Torah Schayim in Mesechtes Chulin daf mem gimel amud beis. But I was thinking that maybe you could say a different pshat in La'olam Hilchasa Kedivri Beis Hillel. And that is Behekdem, something that the Mesilas Yesharim says in the end of the 20th parak, in the end of parak Chaf in Mesilas Yesharim. The context over there is that Mesilas Yesharim is talking about an idea that he refers to as Mishkal HaChasidus, something we've spoken about in the past. It's not for this morning. But at the very end of his piece and thesis on Mishkal HaChasidus, says the Mesilas Yesharim that with this idea, I can explain something that's very, very awesome. Everyone knows the Mishnah in the first parak of Masechtas Brachos. One of the first Mishnayos every child learns in his life. The Mishnah says that there was Machloikas B'Shamay B'Shil, how are you supposed to learn Kriya Shema? It says in the Torah, B'Shach B'Cha Uvkumecha. B'Shamay said, B'Shach B'Cha means that when you learn Kriya Shema Shal Arv, it's supposed to be lying down, literally. Kriya Shema Shal Shachetz Uvkumecha. B'Shil said, no. B'Shach B'Cha means B'Zman She B'nei Yodim Shaychvin. B'Shil, B'Vkumecha means B'Zman She B'nei Yodim Kam. Says the Mishnah, Reb Tarfin said that he was once traveling and he lied down because he wanted to learn Kriya Shema like Beis Shammai, right? Why? He wanted to learn Kriya Shema like Beis Shammai and he almost died. They almost killed him. And he came back and he told the Chachamim, the Chachamim told him, you deserve to die. And because you went Keneged Beis Hillel, you went like Beis Shammai. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, where do you find that someone who is over al divrei Beis Shammai, a Beis Hillel, and he goes, there should be Chayiv Misa? For that he was Chayiv Misa? I mean, the words of the Chachamim need to be taken literally. They told Rav Tarfin, you deserve, you are Chayiv Misa. For what? Because he was being machmer, because he was laying in Kriya Shema like Beis Shammai. Why is that a bad thing? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, and I quote, Lufi, She'inyin machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, ha'inyin kovid liyisrael. The machloikis between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was a very, very scary, it was an inyin kovid for Klal Yisrael. Mipneach machloikis ha'gedoyla sh'rof se'bnei. Because of the terrible machloikis that rage between them. V'soif soif nigmar sh'alochik Beis Hillel. And finally they resolved, finally, it was resolved through a baskel that the halacha is going to be like Beis Hillel. Right? If you know the rest of the story, some of the history between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, there was fighting, there was shvichas damim. It's hard to fathom exactly what was going on. It was a very, very, very scary time. And by the way, put it into the broader context. The broader context is the Beis Hamikdash was just destroyed. Right? Reb Tarfin is one of the Chachmei Yavna, and the Chachamim are poshut worried that there should be a hemshach. Reb Yoichanan was Mevater, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, on Churban Beis HaMikdash, when he met the Kesar of Roimi, he said, Tein li yavna v'chachamel, because Klal Yisrael could survive without a Beis HaMikdash. We've done that for 2,000 years. But we can't survive without Torah. And he was worried that maybe Torah would be forgotten. It was very, very scary times. This was when Idias was written. How was Idias' preface? Asida Torah shet eshtakech miYisrael. There was one Tana who said Torah will never be forgotten. Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Ki lo yisishachet bizari that soif yitevis yochai. But he was a Das Yochid. He was the Das Yochid. Nobody agreed with him. All the Chachamim felt that we were living in crazy times. Times that's Kavi Yisrael, that the Torah may be forgotten. And now within the Chachamim that we have, there's a Machloikis. There's Beis Shammai and there's Beis Hillel, and they hold the Tzaras Erev as Mutter, Tzaras Erev as Aser, Beis Shinal the Yontav as Mutter, Beis Shinal the Yontav as Aser. All these Machloikis and throughout Shas. The Torah was literally at the brink of becoming two Torahs. So much so that we needed a Baskel to intervene, and the Baskel said, Halacha is Kedivrei Beis. So well, so says the Mesilas Yesharim. Listen to the Shoyne Yazov. Hine kiyuma shal Torah shegmar din ze yishoer b'chol toikef lo ad ulo omei elamim. This idea of Hilchas HaKabei Sol is something that has to be forever. It needs to be b'chol toikef mit the ganze ganzkeit in English or Yiddish. Lo ad ulo omei elamim v'lo yechelash b'shum ponim shloi teyos et Torah chas v'cholilo kishtei Torahs v'al kein lo das ha-mishnah hazois. Right, the Vilna Gaon said every word of Mesilas Yesharim. Yoyser Chasidus ulahachzik beisil afilu lekula milahach mekbeishamai. You want to know what Reb Tarfin was chayv misa? Because the das of the Mishnah Azois was that for someone on the caliber of Reb Tarfin to go ahead and to publicly be machma like Beis Shammai, you're undermining the Paschal. You're undermining this psak halacha that can't become shvach b'shun panim. That the halacha is like Beis Hillel. In Hilchas Kriyishma, Reb Tarfin was a machmer, v'tovayol of bracha, says the Mesillas Yesharim. But in the bigger picture, Reb Tarfin made a very big mistake, because he was risking, being that a man of his caliber is going to follow Beis Shammai, you're reinvigorating Shittas Beis Shammai. And you know what you're doing? You're putting us back into a terrible matzav of sakana. And it's because of that, they said the Reb Tarfin was chayv misa. But listen to the lashonis of the Mesillas Yesharim. He says, v'soiv soiv nigmar shalocha kibay solo lo'oylam. Hine, kiyuma shal toira, shekimar din ze yishar b'chol toikef, lo ad u lo ol meyoy lov. V'lo yechlash b'shun ponim. Where did Mesillas Yesharim get those lashonis from? Every word in Mesillas Yesharim. Hine, again, nigma shalochi b'esil lo oylon. Is hine kiyuma shal toira, shekimar din ze yishar b'chol toikef, lo ad u lo ol meyoy lov. Those are four lashonis. In a drasha gemara, you'd have four drashas from this Mesillas Yesharim. Lo oylon, lo ad u lo ol meyoy lov. Maybe six. So you have all these drashas. Where did he get it from? He got it from the Braisa. Lo oylam hilchas akidav beis hillel. And the Mesillas Yesharim at Ge'ar to Teres Chaim's kash. What's lo oylam? Lo oylam hilchas akidav beis hillel. Where do you find such a loss? So the Teres Chaim then said, "There's no exceptions to the rule because it's not based. It's based on a the Mesillas Yesharim had a different havana. He said is lo ad ulo ol me oylam. And this is forever. This will never change. Things could change sometimes, but not this." This was so risky. This was so dangerous. This akana was so terrible that lo adu lo omei olam. We need to enforce this in the most extreme fashion. And so much so, the Chachamim believed Reb Tarfin was chayiv misa. Basa degatan. He lied down on a bench and he said, "Kriyish ma kedivir b'shamay chayiv misa." Yeah, because this is something that's so important. It's something that needs to be b'chol atoykif. Lo adu lo omei olamim. V'lo yechalash b'shem panim. Shloi teyos ha'teir chasuduk shloi teiros. Reb Tarfin violated that. And for that reason, Reb Tarfin was chayiv misa. So I was thinking that Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, we never passing like Rabbi Eliezer. Why not? Because of me talmid Beis Shammai. It could be. The reason Rabbi Eliezer goes down in history as Shamuti and not Reb Tarfin and not so many of the other Tanon is precisely because Rabbi Eliezer was so great. How great was Rabbi Eliezer? So we spoke about this the other day. Rabbi Eliezer was so great. If all the Chachmi Yisrael would be on one side of the scale and Rabbi Eliezer would be on the other side of the scale, Rabbi Eliezer would machriya sakap. He was the greatest of all the Tanon. You know, Rabbi Eliezer is referred to as Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. The Radal wrote a Pirish on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, which is the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. And in his Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, he wrote an introduction. The introduction is called V'Shem Ho'Echad Eliezer. It's actually very much related to this week's parasha. It's about Parah Aduma. But V'Shem Ho'Echad Eliezer. And he talks about the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. And he says over there something beautiful. He says that if there was Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol, you would think there was probably another Rabbi Eliezer who wasn't the Gadol. So to differentiate between the two Rebbe Eliezers, we refer to Rebbe Eliezer as Rebbe Eliezer Gadol. Precedence for that is Shimon HaTzadik. Right? Shimon HaTzadik was known as Shimon HaTzadik. But the historians say that he wasn't known during his lifetime as Shimon HaTzadik. But he had a grandson whose name was also Shimon, and he wasn't a tzaddik. So the differentiate between the two Kehanim Gedol, he was also Kehan Gadol. So Reb Shimon HaTzaddik became known as Shimon HaTzaddik, and the other Shimon was the other Shimon. But there's no other Rebbe Eliezer in Shas, says the Radal. This is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yosef, Rebbe Eliezer Aglili. You don't find another Rebbe Eliezer. So why was he called Rebbe Eliezer Gadol? Because he was really a Gadol. And he brings B'Shem the Sefer Al-Chalois and the Zohar Chadash from the Vilna Gaon. The Rebbe Eliezer had Nishmas Ruvain, who's Bechariyat, he was the Gadol Shabbat Shvatim, and that's why he was called. But he goes on and he's about who Rabbi Eliezer was. He was the only Tana that was called Gadol. Because he was Gadol. He was the greatest. He was the greatest of all the Tana. You know, it's interesting. Who's the first Tana mentioned in Shas? First Tana mentioned in Shas. Davis I couldn't say Shema Ba'arvin. Neshosha Kehanim Nechnas Alecha B'Trumasan Atzoifa Shmura Rishoyna Divri Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. That everybody knows. Who's the last Tana mentioned in Shas? So the last Masecht in Shas is Masechtus Uktzin. So Masechtas Uktzin actually concludes Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But Rabbi Shua ben Levi wasn't even a Tana. He was an Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. There's no Mishnah in Shas that mentions Rabbi Shua ben Levi. There's no Brice in Shas that mentions Rabbi Shua ben Levi. That last Mishnah is not really a Mishnah. Even though if you hear a Siyam HaShish Yisidra Mishnah, you can hear Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Han Chol Tzadik B'Tzadik Gimel Meis, V'Esim Shai Yolomis. But it was something that was added just to be Messiahim. Shisha Sidre Mishnah with a very nice thing, right? The last words are Hashem Oiz Lami Yitain, Hashem Yavarech Zan, but it's not the last Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't write that. I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi, he didn't write that. So, what's the last Mishnah, as in the real last Mishnah in Shas? Or the last Tana that's mentioned in, it's the third Perek, the 10th Mishnah and Mesachtes Uktzen. Ki veris devoirin, Rabbi Eliezer says, Arei kekarka, v'koisven ala prusbol, v'einim kabelas tumma b'mkais, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the first Tana that's mentioned in Shas, and Rabbi Eliezer is the last Tana that's mentioned in Shas. I heard from Yedidi, Rav Shmuel Reuven Grossman, told me that the Chiddush Arim said, why was Rabbi Eliezer Zoicha that he's the first Tana mentioned in Shas? And he's the last Tana mentioned in Shas. So he said, Pshat, based on the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph. This is Rabbi Eliezer talking. He said, Miyom Ailei Kodmani Yonu Bebeis Medrash. There was never a person that came to Beis Medrash before me. Rabbi Eliezer was always the first one in Beis Medrash. Two lines later, he said, V'loi Hinachti Odom Bebeis HaMedrash V'yotasi. And when I left, there was never a person in Beis Medrash. Rabbi Eliezer was always the first one in, and he was always the last one out. So said the Chiddush Arim, that's why he was Zoicha, that he's the first Tana mentioned in Shas, and he's the last Tana mentioned. We could talk about Rabbi Eliezer for days. This is the great Rabbi Eliezer Agado, but here was the irony. The irony was because Rabbi Eliezer was so great, because he was the greatest of all the Tanaim. Right, you say in the Agado Shal Pesach, Maisev Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. So we mention, who's first? Rabbi Eliezer, we know the order matters. I ain't toys v'sksubas daf kuf ayam and aleph, if you don't believe me. The order matters. So why is Rabbi Eliezer first? Because he was most chashid. So in that chabur of all the chachmei Yavne, Rabbi Eliezer was the god of Adar. He was the greatest. But because he was the greatest, the fact that Eretz Chetzugah chepet to Shita Shammai, it was a problem. And that's why, maybe, the Chachamim felt Rabbi Eliezer has to be Shamuti. For Reb Tarfin, as great as Reb Tarfin was, to be Mitalmid Beis Shammai, yeah, it was Chayiv Misa. But Shamuti, to the point that we never could pass like Reb Tarfin, the Chavis Yoris Kasha, no, we could pass like Reb Tarfin. Because it's not so bad that Reb Tarfin, Reb Tarfin's Chayiv Misa, that's the Mesilas Yesharim. But to say that we can never pass like Reb Tarfin, no, Rabbi Eliezer is the God of Adar. Rabbi Eliezer is HaGod. Rabbi Eliezer is great Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Rabbi Eliezer is the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said on him, he himself is shakal to all the other Talmud HaChamim in the entire world. It's not a guzma. That's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said. So if that's the case, he's the greatest of all the Tanam. And now he is somehow attaching himself. He's somehow attaching himself to Shita Beishamah. That's scary. That's very dangerous. And because of that, it's Tafka Rabbi Eliezer that had to be Shavuti. I don't think the point is that everything Rabbi Eliezer ever said was Shitas Beishamai. No one said that. Every word that ever came out of Rabbi Eliezer's mouth was Shitas Beishamai. We asked the Kasha the other day. Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Yechem Zakeh, was a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken. So you would think Rabbi Eliezer, a lot of his Torah came from Yechem Zakeh. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer says in Sukkah Chav Chesam and Aleph, Me'oilam Le'amarti Dovash Le'shamati Mirabosai. So imagine what Baruch Ber would say. He never said anything he didn't hear from his Rebbe. So you know, Kamat, the whole Berachah Shmuz from Reb Chaim, because that's his Rebbe. So if Reb Eliezer said, I never said something I didn't hear from my Rabbein, it means it's Reb Yoichem and Zakeh, Medaber Mitoich Groinois. How can you tell me he's Beishamai? Reb Yoichem and Zakeh's not Beishamai. So we said that Kibbel Mehil of Beishamai, but he goes down, Reb Yoichem and Zakeh does, as one of the great Talmidim. I'll ask you another Kasha. Rabbi Akiva, who's Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe? Who was his Rabbi Muvik? His Rabbi Muvik was Rabbi Eliezer. Ayin Bradal and Kuntra Shem Yachad Eliezer. It's Pasha. His Rabbi Muvik was Rabbi Eliezer. The whole Torah Shabbat had the whole Messiah is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Stim Ta, Stam Mishnah, Stam Braisa, Stam Tostefta, Stam Sefra, Stam Fikulu Alibit Rabbi Akiva. So does it make sense? Rabbi Eliezer's Shammai. I mean, it's Pasha Takasha. It's basic math. Rabbi Eliezer's Shammai, so we don't paskin like him. Why? Because he's Shamuti. He's me, Tamid Be Shammai. The Gansa Messiah cooked from Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva's you mean to tell me Rabbi Akiva never was Makabal anything from his Rebbe? I find that very hard to believe. Kulu alibud Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva got his Messiah from Rabbi Eliezer. After Rabbi Eliezer's Shammai. The Torah says, no one said that every word that ever came out of Rabbi Eliezer's mouth was Beishamai. They were machloikas Beishamai Bishil. And we pass like Bishil Nali Beishamai. But that means that Rabbi Eliezer that done, his halachas are in the proverbial cheirim. We can't listen to a word of Rabbi Eliezer. That's not the point. The point is something else. The point is Rabbi Eliezer was the God of Adar. And Rabbi Eliezer tzuka chepet to Beishamai. And the Chachamim felt that's very scary. It's very dangerous. Because Beishamai, that's the Mesilas Yesharim. And that's something that we need to stay away from. So the Migdar Milso, we said the halachas is not Rabbi Eliezer. If Rabbi Eliezer said something, we don't pass it like Rabbi Eliezer. And that's a chiddush. Rabbi Akiva's Torah, that's Rabbi Akiva. The fact that he got it from Rabbi Chanzakeh, it's irrelevant. That's not the point. It's not that every word that came out of his mouth was Shita Beishamai. Reb Tarfin was Mitalmid Beishamai. We could pass him like Reb Tarfin. We don't pass him like Beis Shammai. But it doesn't mean that if you're a Talmud of Shammai, we don't allow you into Beis Medrash and nothing you say works. This was a different point. The punchline was something else. The punchline was you have to appreciate the history, A, and you have to appreciate the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer, and for someone on the caliber of Rabbi Eliezer to somehow associate himself and join the rank and file of Beis Shammai on some level, the Chachamim felt is very, very dangerous. It's way too dangerous, and they decided, they were machriya, Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, that Rabbi Eliezer Dafka, we're never going to be able to follow in Halach.
Oh, yeah.